ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The Word of God was passed on. And these weren't like the words of Moses. It wasn't that this is what Moses thought the Lord said. It was the Word of the Lord that Moses took to heart and passed it on. And the reason I could say that Moses took it to heart is that he walked according to the things of God. He was obedient to the words of God. Not a perfect man, because there are none. And he passed this information on to Joshua, who now is leading the children of Israel. But this was not just a book that Moses passed on, like, you know, green eggs and bologna. It couldn't be green eggs and ham. These are Jews, okay? So we have to change it up a little. What we see today is a lot of passing on of what? Books. Oh, listen to this. Read this. Do that. Here's this great teacher over here. Go to this webpage. What about read the Word of God? I mean, it's kind of simple. And what we are learning, what we're taking in, what the things that we go through in life, pass them on to your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors. Let them see that God is living in you today, that you are living what you say you believe. Pass that on. You know, you could talk all you want about Jesus, but if you're not living for him, people will notice that. And believe me, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to blow it. But when we blow it, can we say, you know what, I was wrong? I shouldn't have said that. I not only said something against you, but I dishonored my Lord. As simple as that. I love what Paul said to the believers in Thessalonica, because they were pagans, man. Immoral lifestyles, into all kinds of idolatry, worshiping all kinds of gods. And yet they were saved at a very early period in their lives, radically changed because of what the Lord did. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, this is what Paul said. He said, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit." Much affliction, why? They came to Christ. They received the word of God. They came to Christ, and their family, their friends were coming against them. There was a lot of trouble when they came to Christ. "So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." Wow, they lived their lives, their faith out so much that people were taking notice. Believers were encouraged by it. Unbelievers were drawn to the Lord through their changed life. Hey, I knew that guy. I knew what, I mean, he was into all kinds of immoral lifestyles. And now look at him. He's praising God. What happened? Jesus. You see? Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." In other words, Paul's saying, hey, you guys, this was your lifestyle at one time. But then you came to Christ. And when you came to saving faith, that all changed then. That's how you once lived, but you no longer live that way because you've been washed in the blood of Christ. You are sanctified or set apart by God, and you're justified. Your sins were paid, and there's no longer a record of them. So live like you're a child of the King. Live as a child of God, because you are. and how important that is. You know, we're to live out our faith and then we're to share our faith with words. I think the two go together. Share the gospel. Share the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is living and powerful. Paul said in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Where does our faith come from? As you share God's word with people, you share the gospel message. You know, you could do a study on your own. Look at all the miracles that are done in the scriptures. You know, he feeds 5,000, right? And they're following him. You think, oh, that's great. Look at all these people are following him. Why were they following him? Because we want another cheeseburger. Well, I guess they can't have cheese, but you know what I mean. They want the food, the miracle. Hey, come on, feed us again. Miracles don't save. Miracles can point to God, but they don't save you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what does the devil do? He takes this, the Bible, and he puts it underneath the podium. And now we're going to tell stories and tell jokes and entertain. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, but we've got a lot of unsaved people coming into the church and we don't want to offend them. I'll tell you what, when you tell someone that they're a sinner separated, their sin has separated them from God and they need Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins to be saved, you're going to offend them. Let's face it. I mean, I was offended when someone told me I was a sinner. I didn't like it. Who does? We think we're pretty good people. But compared to a holy and righteous God, we're not. You got to share God's word. Well, what do I share? Here's the thing. Don't use a program. Ask God. When you meet with people, when they're talking to you, Lord, you know what this person needs to hear. You know where they're at. Maybe they're hurting, Lord. Maybe something bad has happened in their life. And something. Give me something to say to them that would reveal yourself to them. And the Holy Spirit will. I'm not putting down some of these programs and things on how to witness, but I'm saying we need to be really more open to the Holy Spirit. Because think about it. You got Genesis to Revelation. Where are you going to share from? I mean, you're not going to have hours and hours to talk with them. The Holy Spirit knows what they need to hear. Be open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you. To me, it's that important. One writer put it like this. He said, out of all the words known to man, there is nothing more powerful than the word of God. Philosophy, with its unending questions, fails in its comparison to the word of God. Science, with its concepts and fundamental beliefs, does not measure up to the word of God. If you take all the prominent speakers from all ages and compare what they have said to what God has said, their words will be as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. There has never been an individual or group whose words carry more authority than God's. For it was by his word that the worlds came into existence. Yes, my brothers and sisters, his word has the power to change lives, lift up bowed down heads, soothe us in our moments of misery. His word instructs us how to live righteous, and his word tells us if we're living unrighteous. There are no words spoken or written that have the same effect as the power of God's word. Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. And it's important for us to understand that. Yes, we are to live out our faith. People are to see that our faith is real, but we're also to share the word of God because God's word is living, powerful, and it can change our lives. There's no doubt about it. And if you don't pass it on to future generations, they will move away from what you say you believe. And look at our nation today. I mean, you ask young people if they think that our nation was a Judeo-Christian nation when it was founded upon, they will tell you no, absolutely not. It was a secular nation. They came here for prosperity. No, they didn't. They came here for freedom of religion. They wanted to worship God according to what the scripture said, and they didn't want any government telling them how to worship God. But we've lost that now. And I think one of the reasons we've lost it is because God wasn't important. He was placed on the back burner, you might say, forgotten about, because other things were too important. You know, sports, theater, music, all this stuff. And, you know, if I have time for God, then great. If I don't, that's okay. And you pass it on to your children. You pass it on to your grandchildren. Other people see that in you. Let them see that God is real in your life because you're living what you say you believe. You pass on the things of God to them. I shared with you before that my grandson was having a hard time with some math problems. And he, you know, me, great. You know, he's, what, 13, and you know, he's way beyond my math ability already. But here I am trying to help him. And he just wanted to give up. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just done. I'm finished because I can't get this right. I said, Liam, let's pray. And we prayed and asked God to help. And all of a sudden I hear this, I got it. I got it. Awesome. You see, just bring it before God. Let your grandchildren, your children see God is real and he answers our prayers. Not always that fast. But boy, that was pretty amazing to me. It encouraged me too. God is real. And I, you know, in the scriptures, we see the example of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Paul picked up on it in 2 Timothy 1:5. You know, he tells us that his heart is full of joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you also. His grandmother got saved. Then his mother got saved, and then he got saved. You see how it was passed on? I love that. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, the children of Israel were told, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is known as the Shema, which means to hear. And they would say these verses, this prayer in the morning and in the evening. They would teach it to their children. Where does it begin? It begins in our hearts. And as God gets a hold of our hearts, then it is seen in the things we do and the things we say. It flows outwardly. They were to teach their children by living it. When you're sitting in your house, when you're walking down the street, when you're driving in your car and that guy cuts you off the road and your children are in the car or grandchildren, how do you respond? And if you do wrong, you tell them, you know what, that wasn't right. I did wrong. I shouldn't have been saying something like that. You see? You pass the things of God on. And that brings us now to our last point, beginning in verse 16 of Joshua chapter 11, where we're told this. So Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak, and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that he might receive no mercy, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron and Derbe and Anab, from all the mountains of Judah and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions, by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. So this last point here, the focus is walk in his ways. Follow the Lord as he's leading. And we have a summary of the land that Joshua and the children of Israel conquered. When you read verse 20, it says that the Lord hardened their hearts so he might wipe them out. Does that sound like God? God gave them how many years to repent? 400 years to repent. And they didn't. And now judgment was coming. And God only gave them what they wanted. They were in rebellion against God. God said, you don't want me? I'm just going to make firm what you want. And that's exactly what he did. Remember in Jericho, they were to wipe out Jericho. But what happened? There was a harlot named Rahab who knew the God of Israel, got saved. and her and her family was saved. Everyone else in Jericho was wiped out except her. Isn't that an amazing fact? Yes, if you turn to the Lord, he's not going to judge you. He's going to save you. And that's what we see here. But these people didn't. What we see today is what Paul said in Romans, chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And how true that is. We worship the creature instead of God, who created all these things, right? We didn't evolve out of some slime pool. There's Almighty God who created us, and our lives are important. But because they rejected him, it says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Wow. That just sums up our nation and world today. Turning from God, and God gives them over to these vile things, perverse things. Women lying with women, men with men. Isn't it interesting when archaeologists find human remains from so-called, you know, a million years ago or whatever, they're always men or women? There's no transgender there. Why? Because there are only men and women. But God says, you don't want me, I'll give you over to these things. We just saw, I forgot the guy's name, who was arrested with a sex scandal and now he's committed suicide. So that information that he knew is pretty much gone. Why did he die? Because world leaders were all involved in this. That's how evil this world is getting. Remember in Genesis, where it says the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were evil continually? I think we're getting to that point again, guys. And judgment is coming. How long? I don't know. But it's getting pretty evil out there. You know the movie that they were going to release, but they didn't, where people are armed hunting Trump supporters. How evil is that? I mean, what do you do? You're stirring up people to do things that are wrong. Thank God, you know, they're not doing it right now, but who knows? We look at all the evil and people go, oh, it's so bad. How could God do this? God's just saying, this is what you want. If you want that lifestyle, don't blame God when judgment comes upon your life. And that's what we see here with the Canaanites. And God deals with our hearts the same way. His grace will either harden our heart or soften it. But we have a choice to make. I also see the Anakim or giants in verses 20 and 22. The same people that terrified the children of Israel 40 years earlier, and they refused to enter the land at that time. It was a stumbling block for them. Now they walk by faith, and God gives them the victory over them, just as he told them he would. The only ones that survived were the ones living on the coastal cities that were occupied by the Philistines, Gaza, Gath, Ashdod. And the key here is that they were walking in his ways. They were following the Lord in what they were doing. Look at verse 23 of Joshua 11 again. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. What we see here is that the Canaanite kings have been destroyed within the borders of Israel. But now there's still pockets of resistance that the various tribes would have to destroy as the land was allowed it to them. Those small towns and villages needed to be dealt with. Redpath said much territory was yet to be possessed, but it was left to each tribe to possess what potentially it had received through the conquest of the whole people in which it had taken part. Each tribe was to apply individually the lessons it had learned in united war if it was to possess its inheritance. That the tribes failed to do so was not a reflection on the power of God, but on the failure to take for themselves what Joshua had given and allotted to each one of them. How does that relate to us today? Jesus has already defeated the enemy. He's conquered the land. He wants us to take those steps and possess those areas that he's already given us victory in. Walk in his ways. The battle's going to continue on until we go home to be with the Lord, or he establishes kingdom here on earth, whenever that be. Revelation 11:15 says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Yeah, we long for that day. But until then, as Psalm 119:133 says, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Yeah, if you want to have that walk that is worthy of the high calling by which you've been called, walk in his ways. It's that important. It's so important. We talked about this walk of faith. And the tragedy is the children of Israel only went part way. And we'll see that as we read on through Joshua over the next several weeks. They didn't drive out all the inhabitants of the land. They left little pockets of resistance. They left some people, left them to live, and it was a thorn in their flesh. When my kids were young and I would cut the grass, they'd get out their little play lawn mowers, you know how that is, and follow right along. And they were fine as long as they were following me. But if they went towards the street, that was bad. If they started getting into things that they shouldn't, that was bad. And that's true for us. God has given us the victory in these battles. What are we to do? Follow him. Walk by faith. And we get in trouble, though, when we don't follow him. And that's a tough one. There was a TV news camera crew on assignment in southern Florida filming widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew several years ago. And in one scene amid the devastation and debris stood one house on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when a reporter approached him. He said, "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How'd you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" And the man replied this. He said, "I built this house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code would withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code. When the sun is shining and the skies are blue, building our lives on something other than the guidelines of God's word can be tempting, right? But there's always storms coming, and you need to be ready, and you need to build your faith upon God's word." D.L. Moody said, "If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God." Yeah, they're going in two different directions, and more so today than ever before. I mean, I have to be honest, I feel like an alien and a stranger in this world. The immorality, I can't even watch a TV commercial without being indoctrinated with sexual immorality. Henry Ford made this interesting point. He said, "Those who walk with God always reach their destination." Ah, I like that. And Jack Hiles said, "God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. We need to walk in his ways." Because here's the thing, and I'll wrap it up with this. Make no mistake about it, the enemy attacks. We don't have to guess on that one. We don't have to wonder. It's just the reality. And he's going to attack the enemy until we go home to be with the Lord. But here's the wonderful thing for each of us, guys. The instructions of God. The Lord has told us what to do, what not to do, how to obtain these victories in these battles. And it's not always easy. But our responsibility then comes the obedience of the people. We have to obey what the Lord is telling us. And here's the great thing. And you know how you feel when God gives you a great victory. We pass it on. We're to tell our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends of the Lord. You know, the baptism yesterday was awesome. You know, family, friends coming out to see their loved ones getting baptized who weren't even saved, some of them. What a witness that is. In other words, he was passing it on. And thus, we are to walk in his ways. Follow him all the days of our lives. And I'll just close with Micah 6:8. "He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." May we walk accordingly, guys. It's a battle out there, but boy, we've got God on our side. Never forget that. Doesn't mean the battle's not going to be intense, but you can rest in him as he leads. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning, how encouraging it is. just to be able to trust in you, to know, yeah, there's battles. When we become Christians, the battles don't end. They even get stronger. But Lord, you give us instructions. You tell us what to do, and we need to follow you. And then pass that, the love of God, to our family, our friends, our neighbors, wherever we're at, just to walk in your ways all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to us. And Lord, just help us to walk accordingly. As you stretch our faith, as you help us to grow and mature each and every day of our lives, we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.